Okay, so our first presenter today is Catherine Lewis, who is right now an assistant professor at the University of Hartford in Connecticut and director of the Center for Public Health and Education Policy. And since 2010, she's also been chair of the Advocacy Committee for the Connecticut Public Health Association. As I mentioned earlier, bios of all of our presenters are available on the back table, and I urge you to take a look for a complete description. But I welcome Catherine Lewis.
Thank you, Patty, and thanks to Leon for inviting the Connecticut Public Health Association to present to you today. I'm going to talk to you. First of all, I have no disclosures to make, no relationships to disclose that are relevant to this discussion. So I wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of the Connecticut Public Health Association first and talk to you a little bit about what we are and what we do. So this is our mission, and it's really to represent the diverse expertise of Connecticut's public health professionals and to ameliorate the most pressing public health issues in the state and to promote healthy and safe living for the people of Connecticut. And through our strategic planning process that we just did about a year and a half ago, we readopted this mission because we felt it really expressed what it is that we do. Our structure is that we're the state affiliate of the American Public Health Association. We're coming up on 95 years of being in existence, hard to believe. We have more than 300 members and are almost completely a volunteer organization. We're the largest and most diverse public health association in Connecticut, a very diverse membership of local and state public health folks, educators, nutritionists, oral health professionals. We have nurses, physicians, sanitarians, inspectors, policymakers. So a very diverse group makes up our membership at the Connecticut Public Health Association. These are the five sort of standing committees that we have for the Connecticut Public Health Association. I'm going to talk to you just about the Advocacy Committee today. The Advocacy Committee conducts quarterly meetings. Our members and interns do a great job of tracking and advocating for health policy issues. We had a strategic planning session for the Advocacy Committee also about 2 years ago, and we narrowed our legislative priorities down to three because we thought we could do a better job if we narrowed our focus and really looked at three areas of great concern in the state. So we're looking at health equity, public health infrastructure, and environmental health. So we had two great, we think, public health successes in the state this year. We had the paid sick leave bill that was passed. We partnered with Connecticut Working Families on this issue. We sent out action alerts, published letters to the editor, created fact sheets for our membership. And on July 5th, paid sick leave was signed into law in Connecticut. We're very proud of that. This affects service industries with 50 or more employees, and they are able to accrue 1 hour of sick time per 40 hours hours worked. The one I'm going to talk to you about today, the bill that passed, is the bisphenol A bill, which was banned in cash register receipts in the state also in July of this year, and it was a rather bumpy road to get there. So we partnered with the Coalition for a Safe and Healthy Connecticut on this. We sent out action alerts to our memberships, created fact sheets. We did on-the-ground advocacy with our membership and also with our interns. We have some wonderful interns that we recruit from area universities, public health students, some nursing students, and they really are integral to our success, I would have to say, with the Advocacy Committee, along with our partnerships. On July 8th, the bisphenol A in cash register receipts ban was passed and will take effect actually in 2015. So how the BPA bill became law is that, first of all, there were some recent studies that were identifying BPA on cash register receipts, and that's that powdery stuff that is very easily transferable to skin and to mouths of children and so on. So what happened is that with the Coalition for a Safe and Healthy Connecticut, there was a kickoff press event that occurred in addition to some press releases. And as I said, our major partner in this was the Coalition for a Safe and Healthy Connecticut. They have an excellent coordinator of that coalition, Ann Hulick, who just did a tremendous job in bringing many organizations together to get this bill passed. So, for example, some of the organizations, Clean Water Action, Connecticut Nurses Association, Connecticut Citizen Action Group, and 40 other organizations, citizens, and advocacy groups were involved in this effort. We certainly didn't do it alone. So some of the steps to successful advocacy. Program coordinator Noelle Kidney did a tremendous job in really identifying the legislative champions and supporters of this bill. She's at the Capitol a lot, and she really did a lot to educate members of the legislature on the problems with BPA and cash register receipts. They also mobilized members of the coalition to testify at committee and public hearings in favor of, this was Senate Bill 210, SB 210, which was the BPA legislation. We mobilized our CPHA members to contact their legislators and committee members to support the BPA legislation. And Noelle and other advocacy groups met with key members of relevant committees to garner their support for the legislation. A lot of meetings in person and by telephone in this case, and particularly with the Environment and General Law committees. Those are the folks that they met with the most. And really it was about educating legislative leadership as well as the rank and file policymakers on the dangers of BPA and these cash register receipts. Nothing is easy, so of course there were many bumps along the way. So the first thing is that there was some controversial language that was opposed by business in this bill. What happened in 2010 was that there was a Chemical Innovations Institute which was created, and this would have required businesses to go to this institute to find out what chemicals are safe to use. And this was actually stripped from the bill by the General Law Committee. They decided that was too much of a burden on business, and so that was taken out of the bill pretty early on. The next thing that happened, that the Senate Minority Leader decided to have a very lengthy 2-hour debate on the issue on the House floor, and that made it more challenging than ever. And in fact, after a couple of hours, there were still hundreds of bills actually awaiting action. This was towards the end of the legislative session, including the paid sick leave bill, which we were very keen to have passed. The Senate leadership actually chose to table the bill, and Noelle called, and she said, oh, it's a dead bill, it's never going to pass, nothing's going to happen. So what we did is we mobilized our membership. We got on the Convio system and we alerted our members. We sent out action alerts. We asked them to contact committee members and their legislators to get them to pass this bill. So finally, after the bill was finally reintroduced and it was eventually voted on and passed through the Senate, and after a very lengthy debate on the last hours of the legislative session, the bill eventually passed the House of Representatives with a vote of 112-33. That was on the very last day of the session, so it was terribly exciting. So here's some of the keys to success that we see as our keys to success. First of all, we created and sustained really strong partnerships. We could never have done this alone. It requires a lot of advocacy efforts on behalf of a lot of dedicated people to get things passed. We educated our membership on the risks linked to BPA exposure and urged their support through emails, our website. We have a Facebook page and a blog as well now. We submitted some science-based testimony at public hearings to support this ban on BPA and cash register receipt paper. And our CPHA members signed and submitted letters to the editor, for example, that were successfully published in regional publications. They were really good at urging their lawmakers to support this bill. So there was a lot of on-the-ground education of lawmakers and of our members as well. So just a few thoughts in closing. What John Kingdon says about policy is that it requires that these three windows be open in order for anything to occur. That you have to first of all identify the problem, you have to have a solution that's going to work, and the political climate to make it pass. And then the constraints have to be not insurmountable. So you have to have all of those things sort of coming together, coalescing in order for policy to pass. So the first thing is BPA actually had been discussed in our state because it was banned since 2009, for example, in the manufacture of baby bottles. So BPA was not a new issue to our lawmakers, and they were very receptive to hearing about it in the cash register receipt paper. And the solution had already been developed. So they already had banned BPA in one situation. So this was not a brand new concept to our lawmakers, which was fortunate for us. They were already educated on the issue. And for the first time in more than 20 years, we actually had a Democratic governor. That has not happened in a long time. We had a Democrat, Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature. So that helped as well. So all of these forces were coming together. The political climate was certainly ripe for something like this. In addition, this wasn't going to cost the state anything, which was another big issue. Obviously, financial times are tough right now, and nobody wants to spend money. And this wasn't going to cost at least the legislator anything in money. So that worked as well. And the final thing is, it can't do this without your partners. It requires a whole lot of people coming together in order to make anything work. And my final piece of advice, as Winston Churchill said, never give up. Even though we thought the bill was dead at least twice, maybe more, we persevered, especially I have to give kudos to Noelle Kidney and Ann Hulick and Roxanne Robinson, who was our intern during this process. They did a fantastic job of educating folks and getting this bill passed in Connecticut, and we're pretty proud of that. So that's it. Thank you.